Hi guys, this is Violet Cloud, and you're listening to another episode of Violet Cloud's Guide to Transgression.
Attention all personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Meditate. Now, I don't want you to think that I mean, going ohm and like doing all this crazy stuff. What I mean is you can simply start off by taking, what, like 5-10 minutes of your day and just sitting, you know? Just sitting. Yep. Just sit there. And what that's going to do is that's going to allow you to observe your mind, observe yourself, and wander and whatever. Again, no pressure, you know, none of that baggage stuff, like, this should be productive and what am I doing, and just let the thoughts come in and pass by, you know. There's no right or wrong thoughts to have either, you know. Ooh, that's another baggage, a big baggage. Something that it took a long time for me to get through, and I know I'm jumping back and forth, but oh my gosh. In Christianity, or perhaps just in it's in all of Christianity, there is this omnipotent, omnipresent God or whatever, and from a young, very early age, they try to police your thoughts. They police your behavior. They police, and by they I mean the people who are instructing you in your Christian faith and your Christian path and everything. Again, not bashing it. However, this particular aspect really unsettles me to this day. How they try to indoctrinate ways of thinking into you. And they tell you that because God is everywhere and in everything and in your mind, it's kind of like this Santa Claus, like, you know, he sees you when you're sleeping. You know, it's just this very creepy, like, kind of Truman Show type of thing where God is in your mind. And if you think bad thoughts, then he sees you and you have to repent for them and all this. Get rid of that. Get rid of that. The gods know. Or the god or the gods or whatever you're referring to deity as, they know that you're a human being. They know that you get frustrated. They know that you have emotions. They know that you have rational reasons for feeling however you do. Even if you do have irrational feelings, it's rationalized by the fact that, you know, perhaps you have like a mental problem, or you have an emotional problem, or you're very stressed that you're very stressed that day, or what have you. These are things that I don't want to say are forgiven, because to say that they're forgiven implies that they're bad in the first place, right? But they're forgiven in the sense that it's like, oh, you know, so-and-so's having a bad day today. Whatever, you know? It's like, definitely let go of that baggage. There's no one in your mind but yourself, you know? And I only say that, again, because that's something that took a while for me to get over. That's just, I mean, I think that's, oh God, that's so devastating to a child. I mean, you know, maybe other children didn't really like intellectualize it as much as I'm doing, but that's just, oh God, that's horrible. I think that's just horrible that they do that to, you know, even from a young age, that, you know, God's in your mind and don't think bad thoughts. You know, you have to go confess to Father Jim and tell him all the bad things you did, because you're a very bad person. You're an innately bad person. That's the other thing, you know, that they kind of push into you, that you are constantly in need of forgiveness because you're not worthy of God's love, and you're just innately like this horrible person. You have to be absolved of your original sin, just because by the fact that you're being born through sin and all this crazy, oh my God, like just let go of all that guilt, all that baggage, because that is just a world, a whole world of negativity that you do not need, don't need it. I mean, you know what, even if it is true, think about it for a moment. What is that doing to your psyche anyway, to have all that kind of emotional and mental baggage and guilt and all that sort of stuff? It's creating way more negativity in yourself than you need. And I think it also kind of perpetuates this like disease of cynicism that we all have. So putting that aside for like the fifth time, let go of the baggage. I swear it'll be like one of the most important things you do, even if you don't continue on the Wiccan path or another pagan path or whatever. Seriously, just for yourself. Like, anyway. But then again, I guess I'm just assuming that you have that, which is not always necessarily true, but you know. Anyway. Okay. Another thing, meet other pagans. Meet other pagans or Wiccans. Again, I don't know about your area, where you're from, your age group, if you're in school or college or whatever. I really don't know, but across the board, I can say meet other people. May that be online or in person or whatever. Of course, if you're gonna meet people in person, through some sort of online thing, always be careful, obviously. I don't think I have to mention that, but just I guess I do have to mention that. Like, always be careful. If it doesn't, like, listen to your intuition as well. You know, if it doesn't feel right, then it probably isn't, or at least at that time. Also, just, you know, on a psychological level, if you don't feel safe, you're just going to perpetuate, or not perpetuate, you're just going to kind of create a relationship. Oh my gosh, you're just going to create a negative vibe, that is probably not gonna be conducive to happy times anyway. So yeah, just be very mindful of your intuition. A lot of people kind of push that aside, but you know, and don't like follow it to an irrational point, you know what I mean? Because sometimes it's just us being neurotic. I think some people really do go a little bit too far with the intuition thing. You know, again, I'm not saying to be neurotic, but if you have that little inkling, like, maybe, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, that, or the other, you know, kind of weigh it for a little bit and then decide, you know, because I think those things are very important things to pay attention to, you know, but don't like let it get you carried away, you know. And also kind of draw, kind of start drawing the differences between intuition and, again, you know, neuroticism and you know, emotional baggage and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's the other thing too. I'm kind of, I don't want to say psychoanalyze yourself, but just kind of know yourself. Yeah, I think you very much have to know yourself to be a good Wiccan, in the sense that it's a path of, it's a journey. It's a journey. And if you don't know where you are, where you've been, you're not going anywhere. You know what I mean? So, again, be very reflective of yourself, the balance within yourself, your whole spiritual journey in general. Okay, so with all that said, that's not enough, right? Like, you have to actually learn things and learn different, you know, things as far as ethics and you know, magic, if that's something that you want to also get into, like witchcraft and blah 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 and all that sort of stuff. Again, assess if that's for you. That's not for everyone. I mean, it is, a big part of a lot of people's practice, but it doesn't have to be for you. Again, like, never say to yourself, well, this is how it is, therefore I'm gonna do it. That's, again, another, like, Christian baggage type thing where it's like, this is how it is, and this is how it is for everybody. Not necessarily true. You do kind of have the freedom to, you have the freedom to kind of create your own system, based on your beliefs, your knowledge, your experience, your intuition, things like that, and your own personal faith and view on things. And don't take those feelings for granted as like, oh, well, I must be doing it wrong. Like, don't do that at all. And this is, I mean, all of these points is basically where your journal comes in handy, because you can write all these feelings and thoughts down, so that you can start building a system for yourself. And that's basically what it is. I mean, if you want to follow an eclectic path. And that's the other thing too, what kind of path do you want to follow? Eclectic, or do you want to be, more traditionalist? Do you want to join a coven, that type of thing? Do you want to just kind of get together with other people and study or whatever? And some of the first things you need to do is read. I think from this point out, you just have to read as much as you can. Suck in as much knowledge as you can. And by knowledge, I don't just mean staying in, like, the New Age Wicca section of Barnes & Noble. Do not do that. Branch out. You might want to go into, I'm not sure if there's a theology section, but you want to check those books out as well. You want to check, academic things as well. And by academic, I mean their, their definitions of, different things like pantheism, panentheism, I don't know, what else am I thinking of? Magic. There are academic interpretations and studies of magic and divination and things that are taboo and things like that. Grab a book on comparative religions and you'll see that stuff. It's very, like, I mean, just it's so invaluable. I could not even tell you. To kind of have a good religious and spiritual backbone as a base for you to build up on, because that's what's going to make you build up your own spiritual path, and then you can, start piecing things together, and then, start reading about this and that and the other, and then understanding where that's coming from, and knowing more about it than maybe even the author does, you know what I mean? Anyway, whatever. With that said, Barnes and Noble, Borders, your library, may it be the public library, your school library, online library resources that might be connected with your school, like reserves or e-journals and stuff like that. Those are all going to be your best friends. Seriously. I cannot tell you how many times I spent, like, entire days in my summer life as a teenager in Barnes and Noble, just grabbing books and sitting. Again, you don't have to be, like, rich and buying all these things and having all these things or whatever. No one's gonna tell you have to buy that in Barnes and Noble, you know what I mean? Or Borders or whatever. Grab the book, grab a coffee, and sit down and read it. And what this does is that it doesn't make you married to certain books, you know what I mean? Maybe I'm just a cheapskate, but I feel like by investing money in it, I'm already kind of subscribing to it. You know what I mean? I'm already telling myself this has a lot of truth and value in it for me. So I'm going to give my money and then take this book as my own. And maybe that's reading a little bit too much into it, but think about it. If you're paying for it, you don't want to, like, you're already in the mindset of, I'm going to like this book. I'm going to read it, and then it's going to be valid and blah, blah, blah. Maybe you want to pick it up and look at it a little bit and kind of sit down and read some of the chapters, look through the index and the table of contents and stuff, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times before you actually buy it. I only ever bought books that I was like, yo, there's something in here that I really want to examine further than, you know, sitting in the middle of the aisle here in the store is going to do. Or sometimes I'd find myself copying a lot of pages out of the book, like, you know, by notebook, by hand, and then just saying, fuck it, I'm going to buy this book. You know what I mean? So yeah, so have a little bit of discrimination, you know, don't just like pick up, you know, the prettiest book on the shelf. Also, read about other spiritualities, you know, not just, you know, like I did mention, reading about, you know, theology across the board and more academic type concepts and stuff, which will help you definitely. But you also want to read about other spiritual paths and religions. Basically, not only to just compare them to yours, but to kind of have a foundation. Also, if you're planning on being an eclectic, you're gonna want to kind of build up this mental library of things that you can draw inspiration from. You know, things from other cultures might start clicking with you, like, oh, wow, you know, I didn't know about this goddess here, and her story is really, you know, inspiring to me, or something like that, and then, you know, you pick up on it, or, oh, I didn't know you can, you know, do a spell this way, or think of this topic in this way, or whatever, you know, I'm gonna adopt that, too. You know, you wouldn't get that sort of stuff if you just stick with Wicca. You're just definitely not, you know, or reading books on, you know, paganism or whatever. Also, and I can't stress this enough, I know it's going to sound like lame and not fun, study the religion that you're leaving. You talked about, you know, growing up Baptist and everything, and for anyone who's listening to this, but study the religion that you're leaving. Seriously. And I'm not saying that like, oh, maybe it might still resonate with you or anything like that. Hey, it might, you know, and then you might find something that you were missing before and that you're like, oh, wow, you know, I totally didn't get this. This is what I was looking for. This is why, you know, I left in the first place or something. That might happen. You know what I mean? But I don't necessarily mean it in that sense. I mean it in the sense that if you're going to, like, quote, come out of the broom closet, unquote, sometime in the future, you know that you're going to be faced with questions. Why did you leave X, Y, and Z religion? Did you know that blank, 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 blank? You're going to get hit with all that stuff. You want to start building your defenses as soon as possible. And by defenses, I don't mean like, well, you guys are stupid because you believe this. No, you really do have to understand what you're leaving so that, one, just for yourself, I mean, it might, again, it might, you know, make you go back to it because you've missed something, and then you have newfound appreciation for it, or it might solidify or kind of make you even more sure of the path that you're on now, or just might make you sure that you want to leave the other one behind. And that was, you know, what was true for me. The more I looked into just Christianity in general, the more parts of the Bible that I read, the more I realized that I was, you know, at least slightly more educated than most Christians I knew. Certainly the ones that were my age, you know. But also, you know, you kind of start intellectualizing it in a way that is not just like passive, but from the standpoint of like a critical reading of it. And I think that's what everyone should be trained to do from a young age. Not to just be like, okay, I'm gonna like, accept it blindly and stuff. That makes such passive spiritual people, to the point where, just look at the spiritual void that people have now. It's because we're made into such passive spiritual people, just like taking it in, because here are the rules. As long as you know the rules, go ahead and here are all the things that you have to believe. Okay, now go ahead and believe them. Okay, there you go. You're fine. There's no work in there. There's no engagement. So I think that if you start reading, let's say, parts of the Bible with the kind of stance of being an engaged reader, being an engaged studier, then you will arrive at so much more than a lot of people that do subscribe to that religion or that faith. So yeah, so anyway, it's very beneficial for you, again, not only to kind of build up a defense against people who will say, well, you're just not this, that, and the other, or you don't understand that this, that, and the other, and you'll be able to say, well, actually, you know what I mean? That kind of gives you spiritual weight. Another thing you can do is ask for guidance, and ask to be brought to a place of spiritual understanding or something that makes sense to you. And you never know, it could be presented to you in the form of a book that you really connect to, or someone that might say something to you and that'll spark something in you. You never know how these things will manifest, so ask for guidance. I have some things that I've written down, or some ways of phrasing that I use. I'd say, I know you are a teacher and a guide. Show me what I need to know, or show me what I need to learn. Something like that, something simple. I find that usually when it just comes out of you, when it comes from the heart, it makes more sense, number one. And number two, you're not worried about, ooh, I said it wrong, and blah, blah, blah. So think of things like that to kind of ask,